Well, joining us for his regular chat is Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Good morning.
How are you?
Ready and waiting.
Good, good. Did you have a good Christmas, first of all?
Well, as you know, we had a very good party on the 13th of December.
Yes.
And we spent Christmas recovering from it.
Are you suitably recovered, ready for the new year?
Well, I can tell you as much. We're skipping all the parties and this and that. The other going for a quiet dinner for two this evening, 7:30, at the local Italian just around the court, just behind us, and then we'll be back home at 10 o'clock. Watch the fireworks and everything else on TV.
Yeah.
Probably in bed watching it on TV, so that we'll be fast asleep by December 31st, 2359, I think.
Yeah, I think quite a lot of people. It sounds like the sage advice there, KB. Sage advice. Let's start. Loads to go through as usual, but let's start with Leeds United, and never a dull moment at Leeds United. Massimo Cellino banning Sky from entering Elland Road until the 11th hour it was before the game against Derby County over what he sees as a mismanagement of Sky and the fixture list, with Leeds United realistically being on this season will be on 12 times on Sky. He's got a point, but is that the right way of going about it?
I think the real problem is that he doesn't know what he's talking about, because as he said himself, he doesn't read anything properly, and he won't take advice and ask advice or seek directions. So he's going from one silly mistake to another. And he's supposed to. He's got his lawyers, his latest set of lawyers, which I suppose he could ask. But again, are they football lawyers or are they just general lawyers? The fact of the matter is, Leeds United are a member of the Football League. And as such, they have to adhere to the rules and regulations of the Football League. And unless it's changed since my day, in the Football League, it says that all TV and other commercial contracts in the name of the league will be negotiated centrally, and the money will be shared out according to a specific schedule. And it also sets out how many games you may or may not have to play. Now, certainly in the Premiership, because at one time they're giving all the appearance money, if you like, for appearing on TV to the big clubs, I got the regulation put in that all small clubs had to have a minimum of so many matches a year. And also, the home and away club each got the same fee, because they were contributing to half the game each. Now, what the rules and regulations are in the Football League, I don't know. But they are there for finding out. They're available. I understand the Leeds lawyers asked for a copy of the contract, which was refused. And quite so. Quite rightly so. But they can be directed by the Football League as to what the rules and regulations are, and they apply to everybody. And as Cellino's made that great publicity, just looks silly when he climbs down. Just as it is, if you remember, he threatened to limit away clubs' taking tickets for away matches to 2,000, because he thought he was making a point that whenever Leeds played away, the home team got the biggest gate of the season. Well, that's strictly true, I don't know, but I'm sure it's not far off. But again, he had to climb down on that one because his own fans came around to him and said, well, why punish us for what somebody else is doing, which you think wrong? And so he had to climb down on that. So it's not very... Not only did it make the club not a laughing stock, but a loss of respect. But it highlights the problems behind the scenes in administration at Leeds United, which is not not tackling. And of course now he's in Miami for the Christmas New Year. Good luck to him. But who's running the club in his absence? Because there are lots of things you need doing. I mean, what's happening about next year's season tickets, for example? Or are they leading that until May, March or April? A lot of people like to buy their next year's season tickets early and get a discount, and some of them get them for Christmas presents or birthday presents. That's one small point. Obviously improves the cash flow, but I don't know. I think there are other things to be tackled at Elland Road of more importance than these silly squabbles, which he doesn't win or... I'll give you a small example. I was walking out of a restaurant just before Christmas at lunch, and a gentleman stood up and introduced himself to me, and he was the QC representing Leeds United against West Yorkshire Police. I'd never met him because, of course, by that time I was no longer involved in the day-to-day running of the club. But I complimented him on the fact that, you know, he'd raised 1.3 million. Which, again, going off the point a bit, but Massimo said the club had never seen, which is total rubbish. I don't know who told him that. But I said, and I expressed surprise that the club hadn't pursued the second half of the claim. And the QC said, yes, so am I. There's another 1.3 million there for the taking. They couldn't even be bothered to take the matter to court. So I don't know whether it's time limit statute barred now, or there's still time for somebody to look into it, but there's £1.3 million there. This is QC saying, and the club just didn't bother to do it. You know, a similar situation in Jersey, where there's several hundred thousand pounds estimated to be awarded in damages and costs against Robert Weston. And Massimo's lawyers simply aren't instructing the Jersey lawyers to proceed. It's crazy. And the other side of the coin, of course, is he's got, I don't know, 15, 20 court cases outstanding, or claims or whatever, none of which are being settled or progressed. It's not getting the club a good reputation for acting in a business-like manner, which is a pity in view of the fact the team now appear to turn the corner and just crept up now to the top half of the table, first time this season. And I think the team and the squad and generally the staff really don't need this reading the stuff in the newspaper or on TV or radio all the time. And they should be concentrating on the players and the squad. Still, you can take a horse to water, we can't make it drink.
Well, talking about water, KB, we've had quite a bit of it up in Yorkshire, and there's been some horrendous floods. I'm sure you've seen the images where you are, and there's been some communities really, really affected by it up here, in especially in West Yorkshire and in North Yorkshire as well.
Well, I know it's been going on for nearly a month now, isn't it? Or more. Starting in Cumber, and it slowly worked its way down. But the joke of it, I was in York on the 17th of December, and which first I'd ever been there. And I was surprised by how, you know, what a nice city it was, pleasantly surprised. And I'd heard a lot about it. But now when you see it flooded up to its armpits, you can't believe it. And also you can't believe why it seems to me that what you might call general maintenance of the waterway system and drainage has just been neglected. And it was shown in a national newspaper that last year we gave over £1 billion to 17 overseas corrupt countries for, wait for it, flood prevention action and works to improve drainage. And I think that I think the Conservative government given Cumbria $80 million, and Cameron was up there breaking short his holiday, had looked round York in his £12.99p Wellingtons. I don't know, it's supposed to be the common touch, but I must say I'm really disappointed with the actions of the government and the various councils. And indeed the Environment Agency Minister, who doesn't seem to be much good at all. And this stuff, you know, that we should be doing it now. They didn't do it in the West Country a couple of years ago. They got left out on a limb. And the northern part of the country, of course, is more mountainous. You've got the Peak District and the Pennines running up through the, down, which increases the water flow. And then, of course, having built housing on floodplains, which we've never done, and deforested certain parts of the moors, let sheep graze, which has kept down the tree growth, which again absorbs water, holds it back, retains it. It's crazy. It's serious, serious neglect. And it shouldn't be a political thing, because Labour have been just as bad in the past. Lib Dems, they don't do anything anyway. But the government, and that means the civil service, really, because politicians come and go. But civil service, unfortunately, are there for life. You apparently have to be incompetent before you can get a knighthood or some other kind of honour. But they're not attending to these things. And they should be doing it. The ordinary people are suffering again and again and again. And the council should be doing more as well. And if necessary, the local voters should act by getting rid of the old guard and bringing in new ones that care about their communities. Because it's local level as well as national level. It's a tragedy. How many people have lost their jobs or temporarily out of work? How many people have lost their livelihoods? In shops, restaurants, bars. See all the goods being dumped out and ugh, makes you sick. We know you can't fight nature. Nature always wins. So you have to channel it. I can remember when I was doing my, and it's not new, I can remember when I was doing my reclamation work in the British Virgin Islands 50 years ago. Now, the great Dutch engineer, he explained to me, he said, Mother Nature, he said, you don't fight it. You don't fight it, you go with her. He's describing how to do a profile of reclamation. He said, you shouldn't do it in squares. You should do it in arcs, circles, because that's how nature moves the water. You have to go with it. It's the same principle today. It hasn't changed. Just that people don't bloody do the work or care. That's the real thing. I don't care. We keep watching these adverts to help foreign countries. Well, I'm afraid charity begins at home. Somebody said if we can spend 0.7% of our GDP in overseas aid, we should spend at least the same on our own people and our own people's environment, our own people's livelihoods and our own people's lives. Enough of that. I'm just disgusted at the way, not the government, the way the civil service have acted or not acted in the past and reacted in the current crisis.
Well, moving on, KB, and something else that...
Oh, by the way, it was so nice, wasn't it, of the flood agency boss to fly back from sun-kissed Barbados where he has his own house behind high gates, come back and see what's going on 3 weeks after the disaster started. Moving on, as you say.
KB. Something else has caught your eye over the last few weeks is there's a bit of a storm down in Oxford over a statue of the Cecil Rhodes down there. And one of the students there has brought up a campaign of that Rhodes must fall.
Well, yes, it's mob rule, isn't it? It's an extension of Twitter and trolls. This little squirt, seen, pictured, him wearing his expensive gowns, comes from Africa. And he apparently is a Rhodes Scholar. No, Rhodes, for all the good and bad things he did in Africa, the one thing he did do was to endow a huge amount of money to Oriel College at the turn of the 19th century, to endow, made it possible for university education to be available to poor and sometimes penniless people who had the ability on equal terms with rich people who could afford to go to university. Don't forget, this is 1890, 1900, when we're talking a very different era than we are today. And that money has been used, usually in places like Africa, to help disadvantaged people get a magnificent education, which of course led them on to have a much better life than they otherwise would have done. Now, if this man, if they don't agree with Rhodes, and they have every right not to agree with Rhodes, if they think so, then they shouldn't be hypocritical, should they? They shouldn't accept charity from such an evil man, if that's what they think he is. They should go back to wherever they came from and carry on working at whatever they could, job they could do. Well, I think this particular fellow is studying something about moral politics or something, whatever that means. I'm surprised that university wastes their money on such stupid courses. But I'm also surprised that the head of Oriel College in Oxford, even they're talking about having a consultation period. Consultation. The only thing they should consult about is the best way to get them on a plane back home. Rubbish. Are we going to knock down all the Roman statues we've got in England because of what Caesar did 2,000 years ago? It's only a matter of time, isn't it? I don't think he wants to take down the trick of him in front. Well, how's he got to do with him? But what's even worse is the media give people like him any space, any publicity. Should be ignored. And therefore, having taken my own advice, somewhat belatedly, let's change the subject.
Yeah, let's change the subject to the VIP box competition, KB, because it's fastly approaching for the FA Cup round three and the box will be open for the Rotherham game.
Oh, Rotherham. Rotherham. That'd be another interesting one, won't it? they've done, under Redfern, they've done quite well. Just got out of the bottom four, despite their good hiding over the weekend, but should be up for it. Should be anybody's game. It should be very exciting. And you can also see, if you get there early, you can see Mr. Redfern arriving by car and parking behind the car park. Although I did ask him, in fact, why he wanted a car. I said, I thought you'd travel with the team in the coach. And I think that was another induced the hula. But no, better that, great game. Should be a win for Leeds and get them in the fourth round. But they'll have to stick at it and concentrate, which they have shown they can do. and I counted the number of homegrown kids in the latest team, I think I got to 5, which is a sign of the products coming through from the academy, some of which, of course, came through from Redfern. So it's Redfern old versus Redfern new. So, let's set the scene. Now, you together two tell people how they can become one of the lucky 10 or 12 to watch the game.
Well, there was a clue in what you were saying there as well, KB. Here's the question, if you want to get in for this one. Last time the Millers visited Elland Road, who was rumoured to have been denied a parking space? Was it A, the referee? Was it B, Massimo Cellino? Or was it C, Neil Redfern? Text YORKS, that's YORKS, and your answer A, B or C to 84383. Text only the words YORKS A, YORKS B or YORKS C, or your entry may be invalid. Your text costs £1 plus your standard message rate, and this is open and closes now on the 6th of January. Winners will be chosen shortly after that. Entries outside of those dates will be invalid. All the T's and C's you can find at radioyorkshire.co.uk. Just click on the Win tab. Finally, KB, I wonder if you've got a message for the listeners of Radio Yorkshire for 2016.
Well, first of all, I think we've got a message of 2015. Thank you for listening. Hope you've enjoyed the efforts of the team. And I always welcome any suggestions for different ideas or different programmes that we don't do at the moment. So the first thing, thank you for all the past. And if you have enjoyed it, please tell your friends, because our listening figures and our viewing figures on the internet are growing every month. So thank you for that. And let's hope we can provide you with even better entertainment in the new year. And also, apart from our trying to entertain you, hope you all have a great new year, 2016. Success at Elland Road on and off the field, and success in your own personal lives and your commercial runs too. So best of luck and best wishes from all at 247 Elland Road to you all out there, including our overseas listeners on via the web. So hope you had a great Christmas, but more importantly, have a fantastic new year. And remember, you can help to make it even more fantastic, because the harder you work, the luckier you get.